Blog Talk Radio.
Promise you won't switch up, and I've been
this I live for you. Whoa. I will give you the world, baby girl. You just gotta be worth it. I will give you the world, baby girl. You ain't gotta be perfect, yeah. See, you just gotta be, oh. No, you ain't gotta be, hey, oh, yeah, oh, 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 yeah, oh, oh.
Person, believe me, we can't just keep talking about it. We think too long. feels at home. I wanna think again. He say, where you from? Tell him out of space. Cause the back the only thing I'm trying to chase. I'm in my head. Tell the DJ, press play, rewind, keep it on repeat.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Poetic Therapy. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Stan the Man Phillips. Hey, Stan, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great now. It's good to be back.
Yes, it is. You know, I think that's what everybody's saying, too. They're glad he's pissing me back open again. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Poetic Therapy, as I said already, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links, LLC. Why be average when you can be raw? Now, Stan, I'm going to talk to you later, okay? But I do have my raw links. I want y'all to get y'all. The dialing number is 319-527-6300, and please press that one. We love you too. Yeah, you won't have to send me your address. Let me tell you something.
I know.
You keep hiding up there.
I know.
Keep hiding up there in the mountains here. You ever hear the saying, the devil ain't got nothing on a woman with a plan? Huh?
I will not argue
you have
that
been
point.
You have been forewarned. I will find you. And I'm a mother. FBI, CIA, KGB ain't got nothing on a mama. Okay. Find out something. Okay. We will locate
you. All right.
You.
I hear you.
Okay. But it's glad to hear your voice. It really, really is. What's been going on with you?
A little work, some jobs we're doing here at the house, too, with different vehicles and buildings. We're getting ready for the winter.
I hear that. Look, this pandemic weight is real. I done put so much on, I'm ready to hibernate. I'm set for the winter.
I'm telling
Trust
you.
Me.
Really?
I
hear you.
I'm good. Yeah, it's all good. You ready for this tonight? You got fun? I know you brought something for us. I know you did.
Well, of course I did.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go ahead on. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Oh, thank you. This is a little thing I call Busy Bee. Enter a place of trees and flora. Nature's radiance gives colorful aura, stirring in us a primal peace and passions. The diversity of her floral display, music of the winds and creek on their way, soothes the soul while bees are taking action. The honey hunter, gentle buzzing song, approaches bloom for which it longs. ancient music as a prelude to romance. Gentle the parting of the petals, now winged lover softly settles in the core of blushing bloom, foreplay's dance. Now between them shared the moment, to their natures both now relent, and the pollen the proof of their sensual actions. This the glory as bee moves on, sharing pollen so more life spawns, fertile seeds guaranteeing next generations. So sweet lady in floral dress, my passion to you I confess. Love and desire natural, why hesitate? We are as both flora and bees, and we have passions to appease. So my lover, shall we pollinate? In peace.
You came in here and did the thing to us just now, Stan. That was absolutely beautiful. And you know what? As much as we hate to have bees around us, especially me because I've been stung several times, it ain't no fun. They play such a vital role in the balancing of the ecosystem. We probably
yes.
wouldn't be able to survive without bees. That was beautiful. I really, really love that piece, man. That was all right.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I brought a little something. This is kind of old, but it's still a piece nonetheless. This is open mic. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and stick this piece. It's called The Who You Are. Because of mask and acts, we put on masks to top off the act that we put on for the world stage. We cover how and who we really are because we're told who and how we really are just isn't good enough or enough, period. Instead of falling in love with the person behind the mask, we fall for the presented act. We're told to cover this about you and hide that about you and nip this and tuck that and suck that out of there and inject it over here. Cut it, slice it, sew it, tie it, fake it, fake it, fake it till you make it. Put the fake here, place the false there. The real you disappear until we don't know who you really are, but we really don't care. And that's that piece.
I like that one. Really.
Thank you.
This is how it
Thank
works.
You.
Yeah. Adrian, you're getting into the heart a lot lately.
You know what? I'm writing about things that are going on in the world. Aside from my crazy life, I guess in mi vida loca, it's so much craziness. But you know what? It isn't too much from everything that has been going on. But it's that same. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just a different kind of chaos. But it's still chaos. There's still love out there. People's hearts still beat just as strong for the ones that they love and desire. The fight in people is still just as strong. It's just the different words, different language that we're speaking to each other, but it's all still the same. You know?
Yeah. The world changes.
Go ahead.
The world changes, but the human condition doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Humans are still human people.
Absolutely. I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier, and I was telling him, you know, there are cycles that we go through, okay? A lot of people don't believe in reincarnation, but I am one of them that does. And, you know, because you can't destroy energy, and we are all energetic beings. Our spirit is energy. It's light energy. And I believe we have gone through many, many lifetimes. and we gather information and bring it with us, and it stays along that frequency. And when we choose to come and enter into another body and live another life, we're just carrying on that information. And we're here to balance out things. When we finally find complete and total balance, or nirvana, if you would, that's when we return back to source, because the rule of the universe is all energy, the original owner, and there is a source of creation. And we will eventually go home. It's just, some of us take longer than others because we are here doing rotten shit. So there's more lessons that have to be learned. Yeah? And that's just,
yeah,
that's how I see it. Okay. So, and I mean, my friend was like, well, I can't really argue with that, because, I mean, who's to say we haven't been through that or we're not going through that? I think, yeah. So, yeah. Enough of my spiritual mess. Are you ready to open up these microphones and see who we got on the line here?
Oh, yes, ma'am. On to the next.
Oh, okay. Well, we got our station manager up here first.
Ho-ho!
Open up his microphone. And my tablet is acting a fool. Hi, Poetic. Welcome to Poetic Therapy. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I am doing great. Stan the man, Phillips. Great to hear your voice, my friend. La Perla Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Dean. What's good with you this week?
Oh, man, just enjoying the two poems that you guys recited, man. Amazing ink as always. I love your work, both of you. You know, I'm just here to, you know, give my little input to tonight, if that's all right.
That's
oh,
awesome.
Yes.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's poetic therapy.
It is poetic therapy. Yes, it is. And I think you came over here to show us love. I think you came to visit my female therapist. But it's all good. You ain't slick.
Oh, yeah. You know, I can't. I tried to mask it. You know, I tried to hide it. But, you know, she and I have become really good and really well acquainted, if you know what I mean. Me therapy, I give her therapy.
I'm sure you are. I'm going to leave that alone, because she and I have had a talk, and it's okay. It's all right. Y'all be being nice to her, so it's all good. Now, for my diva, that's a whole nother. I'm right. Hold on. She hit the red button. All right. I'll tell you what. The mic is yours.
All right. Thank you. The title of this piece is called 1/3 Seconds. In the 12 times your eyes close per second, there is a space I want to live in for 1/3 of a second. That moment when you realize that vision can be everything, and my love for you can withstand anything for just one blink, reminds me to think that every 1/3 of a second is like heaven to you for me 24/7. I'm holding your ambiance of your radiance like simple perfection, wanting the dopest connection that will compel me to live in just that moment for eternity. And those still shots of memories guiding me into an eternal flame of photographic romance, leading to more than just a chance. It only takes 1/3 of a second for the eyes to do what a box of photographs could never do. And that is, remind me of love. In those 1/3 of a second, I am definitely remembering love. And that's that piece.
God, that is so beautiful. Wow. Go ahead, Stan. I love this piece. Go ahead.
Oh, I got to tell you, I love that. 1/3 of a second in just that blink. Man,
yes.
Man, you set images up, and man, that is so beautiful.
Thank you, my brother.
Just so damn beautiful. I love the concept of that 1/3 of a second.
I just can't wait for y'all to hear the collaboration piece that's going to come with it. I'm just waiting for her to finish.
Oh, awesome. Y'all stay sneaking collabs in on us. That's beautiful, the visual that you give for that. Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
Hold on, child. I need him for one more minute. 2 minutes, please. Can we please get the rundown for Epiphany from you?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is going to be the Soul Cafe with your host, the CEO himself, for real, the poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, essentially Janice running the event page, La Perla Negra, and yours truly, Poetic. Tuesday night, y'all, is going to be War Council, Dating in the Digital Age, Part 2, with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night is the Love Zone. Miss VIP and La Perla, La Negra, the Sexy Divas of Epiphany. And then Thursday night, y'all, man, Thursday night is going to be the Get Down with your host, J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. And we simply want to know, Black is, you fill in the blanks. Friday night is going to be Express Your Vibe. Maybe, stay tuned, we may have to have a show change. And then Saturday night, y'all, is going to be Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. So, with your host, Poetic, make sure y'all tune in. La Perla Negra, Standing Man Phillips, back to you.
Thank you. That was awesome. Now, I'm going to send you on over there to the therapist's office because she's about to blow the ringer off of my phone with this red light. Yeah, I'm glad I got it on silent, on vibrate. Please go on over there and talk to that woman. She's about to lose her mind.
Because I've got a week's worth of stuff to unload.
Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. She going to need therapy after this. Lord have mercy.
Mike, take your socks off, baby.
One love, one Mike.
One love, one Mike, my man. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That was absolutely... That poem was beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Before I go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, I got to give a shout-out to our illustrious CEO of Epiphany Radio, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Without him, there would be no us. But Stan, let me open up this next mic. Listen to me. She is coming, but I am the host of this show, so you're going to have to hold on a second, okay? I got to talk to her first. She owes me a poem calling in.
Oh, here we go.
And conversation. Jesus. These therapists just got hooked on these two. Hey, Diva. How you doing? Welcome to Poetic. He's about to get fired. I'm trying to tell
you.
What's his name? Fernando? Michelangelo, what's his
Roberto.
Name?
Roberto.
He
number.
Fire. Now he's blinking the light on my phone, getting on my nerves. She is coming.
Boy.
This is so unfair because you and Poetic have come in here and just have done something to my therapist. And I don't understand.
Well, my name is
they
I
were
didn't know
so.
It.
It's so cool.
You gotta like me
collected before you guys came in here, and now they're just losing all their wits about them. Their professionalism has gone out the window. I don't understand. Call
it's
a corporate meeting. Is that what, yeah? And both of y'all are Aries. Yes, you are. Let me find out their signs. What y'all doing? Y'all done wooed them and did something. Well, how you doing, my You still there, Mr.
My goodness.
All right.
You all right, girl?
I am. So, this is an old piece, and I tweaked it because first I asked somebody's input in it, and I forgot what it was near the end, so I tweaked it again.
Okay. Well, whenever you're ready. The mic is yours.
Thank you. I kissed his words and sucked his phrases. His lips so soft, I touched them with mine. I silently asked for his tongue to kiss over and over again. His oil went well with his body, and I got caught up in his embrace, caught up in his song in my mind we always danced to. Late at night when I reach over to touch him, it's nothing but air, and my heart turns cold because my heart hurts. No time to block the pain. I close my eyes, I sense him, and in that time I need the mountain to move. And I haven't had the time, for metaphors. I need adverbs to take action. But I daydream. He sees the sun in me. I see the moon in him. Together our love will overflow throughout the universe once the mountain moves. And that's that piece.
Wow.
Did you hear that, Stan? Oh, my God. Once the mountain moves.
Oh, thank you.
You guys and
that
these beautiful, beautiful metaphors. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Y'all are giving me life with these visuals.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you.
You
couldn't have had a better closing stanza. He sees the sun in me. I see the moon in him. And be together when the mountain moves. Oh, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Outstanding. Outstanding imagery. Outstanding.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Stan.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Viva, before you go, can you tell people what you got going on in the Epiphany universe? Please.
Well, sure. On Wednesday night, I, along with my sexy diva, La Perla Negra, will be in the Love Zone. And we might have a continuation of next week due to that technical difficulty. And or there might be another topic. That's to be determined. And on Friday night, there may be an Express Your Vibe. I don't know that yet. So, but tune in anyway, because it's going to be, whatever it is going to be good. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, she coming, damn it. Oh, making me cuss. Right, look, I'm going to send you on over there to the therapist's office, and you go ahead and handle your business with Roberto. He getting ready to get a pink slip.
Don, I might have to break up with him.
Oh, no.
But I don't want to create chaos.
Please don't do it tonight. Don't do it tonight, because he get ignorant, and he'll be calling and making all kinds of noises and messing with the switchboard. I'll have to go in the office and slap. All right, go on over there and talk to him. Now. Be nice. Be gentle.
All right.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Oh, man. Those were awesome. Those were awesome. Before I open up this next line, I'm going to take a little station identification break. How about that?
Sounds good.
This is Tiffany Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Poetic Therapy. This is Epiphany Radio. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And come on and press that 1 to be heard. Now, Stan, ready to open up this next microphone. We got us a Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. It's my
All right.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to Poetic Therapy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Good evening, LaPrella Negra. Good evening, Stan the Man. How you feeling, sir?
I'm doing well, Joe, and it's good to hear you.
Yes, it is. It's always great to hear a fellow poet, man, such a, and a powerhouse such as yourself, man. It's an honor. This is awesome. Yeah. So what's on your mind? Anything you want to talk about, or you want to get straight to your piece?
We'll get straight to the piece. It's called Seven Figures.
The mic is yours.
Right. Seven figures, hands on triggers, gold diggers, misgiven the idea of a role model. Full throttle, our youth will follow. They wallow in the deceit. Shot up athletes, trying to be discreet, knowing they cheat. Can't even skeet anymore. Walking billboards for apparel and fragrances. Allow me to convey this message, this vestige. Talk about tipping the scales of justice. Why must the teacher of youth in a hand-me-down suit, barely holding a roof over their head, be led to government assistance? But the instant a three is shot from half court, the students are sought after. They were first taught, and their minds are molded. I've told this story before, as have many more. I'm just sore. Educators rally for five-figure salaries, often six. But these Dicks, Toms, and Harrys carry more weight, entertaining and amusing us so learning can wait. Rap stars, rock stars, singing, dancing, and just prancing around. The next kid can't be found. No one's down for education unless it's related to earning your own shoe endorsement. Of course, this is very opinionated. Swimming and riding the bikes, swinging the bat, stuff like that has got to be where it's at. Your checks are fat. Seven figures are bigger, go figure. Meanwhile, down the long hall, buffs, waxed and all, sister teacher who's reached the limit on a credit card. She tries to teach a young man whose life is just as hard. Math and science and literature, but he can't hear it. Earphones in, he's texting, he's jesting. He suggests his education won't help me out there. He compares this one and that one, made it out college. He's very good at playing. He's polished. He has a scout coming out today just to watch him play. Reverse their salary, what would he say? Better yet, what would he do? The money to the job, all those minds that get robbed, may not want to be what they see on TV. They may want to be just like you and me. Educators, truck drivers, doctors, and scientists, the list goes on, not to circumvent sports and the arts. They all play a part. But those seven figures need redistribution. That would be a good start. I think of Roman days with those gladiator slaves. The best players had their lives saved. Until the next day in the Colosseum, the weakest of them lie in mausoleums. I think the world has never grown past being even. One side always has to be beaten. Teach them to be the best. But for what quest? Does an 8-year-old get a 7-figure check? They play the same game at recess at best. But the educators can't seem to even stay in their nest. And that's my piece. Thanks for having me.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. Boy, that's telling it. That is telling it. Joe, that was outstanding, man.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate you.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, sir.
Whew. Absolutely. You hit on some real serious truth in that piece. Oh, man. Everything that's going on, you just about hit on it in there. And it's like, well, when you pose those questions, they try to evade that, you know.
It's like he said, you know, the educators are doing what they do, and they're doing it as well as they can do in a system that's, let's be honest, needs a major foot up its ass to get it growing again. We are so far behind in so many academics all over the world, it's not even funny. It's not even a joke anymore. And like he was saying about the guy, yeah, he gets the seven-figure salary and all that. But think about it. Think about how even the games have changed. I don't care if it's the NBA, MLB, the NFL. It doesn't matter. They don't talk about teams. They talk about franchises. They talk about a franchise player. It's business. Mm-hmm. They don't even call them, they don't even call it like a league anymore. It's the brand.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. You are so right. Because, it's not about the person anymore and what they can do for you, what they bring, what they add to it. It's just about the money.
And what they, and what they can sell for you.
That's it. That's all it is. They're a commodity.
And think about that. Think about that. Here's a good case in point. How many quarterbacks are going to be Tom Brady? How many? There was a running back in Dallas. His name was Tony Dorsett, who carried that damn team. Tony carried that team for him. He asked for something that wasn't even that big a thing in those days. I think he wanted just a $250,000. And they said no. And this man had carried their asses for 10 years. Because it's business. It's not about the players. It's not even about the fans. It's about the business.
That's it. And we are commodities. That's it. Something to trade and sell. That is it. That's all it is. Man, so coming in here, sitting there, truth, man. I like that.
Love it. Love it, man.
But that's what
don't get me
do.
Wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the game. I'm a fan.
I
ain't even going to lie about it. I'm going to watch the game. But
as well be entertained.
I also know it's business. I know there's a whole lot of business going on in that mess, too.
Yeah, okay. I can go to a little high school football game and be just as entertained. But them kids ain't making seven figures. They playing the same sport.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Same thing. They just it's a dollar sign put on it when the scouts come.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're seeing.
Why?
That's all they're seeing.
Why do you think the NCAA was all happy about allowing all those college players to run around with that Nike swoosh on them? Money in the bank, that's why.
That's it.
And that's supposed to be the amateur level. Really? I've always seen the NCAA football as the minor leagues for the NFL. Baseball has a minor league. The NFL has the NCAA.
That's the truth. Man. Awesome piece. Amazing, Ink. As always, Joe.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much for coming through. I'm having some difficulties with my therapist over there because Poetic and VIP kind of got them on lock. But you can go on over there and grab your glass of wine and put your feet up. I got nothing but recliners in the waiting room and some music, you know, some headphones. Flip them on and just chill until they come out of the office. All right.
There you go.
Joe. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Thank you, Adam.
Oh, man. You know what? Everybody that calls in here, I'm such a fan of Poetic, my Diva VIP. They're all powerhouses. You know, and Joe comes in here
he comes
in
with something that's a truth. that I think everybody really does know. They know it.
Yeah.
But he brings it back to you, puts it right there in front of your face, and you got to look at it and go, damn, that is true. You know, it, like you said, he's a mind dancer. He's got your head going now.
Okay. That's exactly what's going on. And he makes you think, you know, he provokes you with the thought. I like that, too. But we're going to get into this next caller. We're going to open up this next mic. We got another one that is pretty thought-provoking. It's in a little different way. We got us a C-double 34 music. Hey, C-double, welcome to Poetic Therapy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, La Perla Negra. How are you?
I'm good.
I know you're good. I know that already. let me address Stan the Man for a minute here.
Sure.
Stan the Man?
Yes, sir.
You know how Tom Brady got to be Tom Brady?
How?
He had to have his field goal kicker kick 3 wins for him. He had to deflate the ball. He had to have a tuck rule. He had to wear some Uggs. He had to have a rule where you can't hit him below the knee. Yeah, that part. But
let's not forget that famous game between them and the Raiders. And the Tom Brady rule, once that hand is past the point of throwing that ball, if it's still in your hand and you lose it, it's now a fumble.
Yeah, but Stan the Man, we sitting here, you talking about franchise players, but we're here talking about practice. I mean, not the game. We're talking about practice here.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know it's an industry,
how am I supposed to make my teammates better by practice? Exactly. Here's the thing. You think about this. There was a man who ran the ball like no one else. 9 years, never missed a game. Never was off that field. You got players now that can't even get out of practice without dings and dents and injuries. And this guy was one of the first running backs, one of the first players to be out there as an African-American. So you know that in those pylons and stuff, there was shit going on. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
And that man would get up, he'd go back to the huddle, and you know what he'd tell him? Give me the ball. His name was Jim Brown.
You went with the Richard Pryor thing. I saw you. I see where you're going.
Man, I'm telling you, it's the truth. That's the truth. Jim Brown was in there. I love the line Pryor said, because this is, I would not doubt this for one second, because of the stature of the man, that there was a defensive lineman that tried to get that hand in that mask and got bit.
Yeah.
And when the referee asked Jim Brown, why'd you do that? Hey, anything outside the mask belongs to him. Anything inside it belongs to me.
We can pass the collection plate right about now.
No, I'm telling you, there have been great players who never saw anywhere near the salaries these guys are seeing now. Not even close to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were out there playing that game, man. They were putting everything
indeed
on the field. You know?
And that's what we do in the poetry game. We put everything out on the field.
Yes, sir. You don't leave nothing on the bench. And, you might throw something out there that someone's going to knock you down for because they're not going to like what they're hearing. But you know what? If it's real, you spit it.
There you go.
Yeah, period.
There you go. I like this. I need to write
this
down
real
quick. Y'all keep talking.
I feel better.
So do I, man. You're my best poetic therapy right now, man.
Yes, somebody got to get things straight. You know this game is rigged.
Heck, he might
win the eighth.
Oh.
He might win the eighth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, they're built different now, too. You know, all these rules in place, and you can't do this, you can't touch that, you can't do this. Why? Crybabies. But I'm going to leave that right there where it is. Thank you for that little eye-opening thing. You know, we needed that as well. Now, I want to know, what did you bring for us to listen to tonight?
Well, I always feel like somebody's watching me, so I have this title called Lust Surveillance.
I like it.
I read what you said. Deeply, intently, until the sweat drips. I see you like caramel and dark chocolate is good for your heart as it sticks to your body. Let me equip you as I make this simple. I'm the church building you come to worship in. My steeple is the phallic symbol, where your oral fixations bounce like shock absorbers riding on summer hot pavement. You displayed that you can't wait for me. You dangerous to the point. You took my gun off safety. Now I'm shooting bullets everywhere. Clean up on aisle 8, please. You have juiced me until your face seems to look like you got rabies. But I'm not complaining about the raging lunatic that's got you doing tricks as you're screwing me. Until you bring this climactic explosive crescendo to this movie scene. I know that spirit is evident by the hidden words and its sentiments. Twine in these elements, you would levitate and never leave. No, this isn't heavily, because we couldn't reach that comparison, this random thought of us as a pair in sin. How can I explain? Where do I begin? Shouldn't have let any parts of my mind and eye gates lead me into your temptations to where I entertain you like a voyeur, as I need to avoid you like plagues in Oklahoma, because I belong to someone else and I can't go home to you. No way can I delve into your devilish device called poetry, because I want you to do what you said in your piece knowingly. My imagination is visual and runs cross-country. I'm a slave to this contextual content until I'm consenting in surrender, baby, come to me. Of course, this is fiction, living vicariously. I'm so hard-headed and I want to give you so much dictation and show you my certain set of skills, but I'd be mistaken. So let me shut up and erase these erotic thoughts I said under surveillance. Lust may seem luscious during lunch break, but I know someday it will be discovered. In truth, I was wrong to utter in this discussion how much around you I'm dysfunctional. We can't be friends. And we can't be lovers. I'm going to play this shy next time because I'm too close to essentially being your comforter. This is the last time I'll usher these confessions because I see you got it bad. And yeah, you remind me to ask for forgiveness for my transgressions. And that's that piece.
Damn.
Whoa.
Yo.
Wonderful wordplay. Oh, my God, I love that wordplay.
I didn't know whether to look at it as a political piece or a sexual piece. That was pretty deep. I like that.
That's the great thing about it. Irregardless of your perspective, it works.
Wow.
Simple as that. No matter what perspective you hit it from, it works.
Absolutely.
Love that wordplay. That was fantastic.
Thank you. And somebody thought this poem was about somebody. And I'm like, No, I just used my imagination on this one. But if they want to attach themselves to it, if they want to attach themselves to it, then y'all go ahead.
Hey,
there
if you fit, Rose by any other name. But that's what I was saying. I didn't know whether to look at it as a political thing or a sexual thing. I wasn't so much attaching a person to it. It's just your wordplay, and it's awesome. Wow, I like that. All right, man.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I'm tell you like I told Joe, a verse of mine, dancer, going over there in the therapist waiting room because I'm not sure if Poetic or VIP has released my therapist because they are no longer being served as patients in there, I believe. I think they are holding my therapist captive.
So they're playing this like the Addiction Network commercial. You know me.
Yeah.
So what are you waiting for?
I think they are. I think they are. They have gotten my therapist addicted to them. And I think it has to do with their zodiac signs too. They do have a certain charisma about them, but I ain't even gonna get into that. But I'm gonna send you over there to the waiting room, to the waiting room. But go grab a recliner, grab a glass of wine, put your earbuds in, and listen to the music of your choice, and just chill out until they open their doors. And thank
all
you
right.
for coming. All right,
you're
one
welcome,
love, one mic.
One love, one mic to the both of you.
One love, one mic to you, sir. Great piece.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now approximately 10 p.m., and you have exactly 59 minutes to get in here and fit your peace or just release some mental stress. So this is Poetic Therapy. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. Press that one. If you don't, you just listen. But for those of you that are streaming online, you definitely want to get in here before 11 p.m. because the Blog Talk Lady has no chill and she will cut you off and you will no longer be able to hear the show or even participate. Whew, man, we got us another powerhouse. I'm getting ready to open up his microphone. We got ourselves a Sir Lawrence. Sir Lawrence, how you doing tonight?
Really, really well. Really, really well, Danielle. What's going on, Mr. Dan?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, tonight's the night.
Yeah, it's hot potatoes over here.
Yeah, you're hearing the poetry that they brought in here, man. Pieces are awesome.
So it forced me to go in the stands, I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay. How you been?
All right.
Yeah, been good, a little preoccupied, you know, and trying to get this, I'm working really hard on getting this second book out.
Oh, man, that's what's up, definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what, I'm not sure if I created an event page, but what you can do, you can inbox me your information about your book and stuff, and I will definitely, put it out there for people to see so you can go ahead and get you some supporters in there for you. All right?
We certainly do. Thank you.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, can you give us the name of your book that's coming out?
I really haven't come up with a title yet, actually. I'm still trying to put it together. It's going to be a lot of consciousness within the book and, you know, a little head scratching and in general, but the majority of it's going to be consciousness.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I will definitely support when it's out there. Now, what did you bring for us to listen to tonight?
Well, this is more. This is an awareness piece, keeping with the thought-provoking theme, I guess.
Okay. Well, whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
By design, given a name. Anything else, we are participating in the food game. Like putting together an erector set. Use a substance, add mechanics, name it. Bring in a qualifier. Then a hot dog can roll indefinitely above 140 degrees, so say the food safety inspector. Haptic, colors, imagery, and positioning. Invisible hands reaching, pulling. The jostling began the minute you walked in. Inside those bags and boxes we find chemically enhanced inducements for our taste buds, causing overloaded excitement, sprinkled with triggers that bypass the brain. Wash it all down with sugar-soaked corn syrup and never wonder why we can't stop. Like opening that box on the way home or that third bag before you realize you just finished two. We are a living, breathing placebo. The sellers understand. We don't. Who's the drug dealer? Who's the junkie? All the gang leaders dividing up their turf. Designing a food triangle telling us what we should eat and when. Then convince us to eat animals that eat protein to ensure our protein fix. They told us we should have reconfigured math, like the Most High already agreed. Chicken sandwiches with all those chicken houses and grocery stores, where is all this chicken coming from? We are being taken further and further away from the natural order. Microwaves now upgraded to air fryers, plastic surplus made to look and taste like food, accepting a disdain for foods with seeds called convenience. Oh, you mean like the dealer's pre-portioned bags? All this, now that the Most High is out of the way, Sir Lawrence.
Oh, I like that one. Oh, yes, sir. I like that one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Like the dealer's pre-portioned bags. Yes, sir. Love that analogy. Love that one.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that piece. I mean, y'all coming in here, it is thought-provoking. You wasn't lying, man, about that. That was an awesome piece. I guess y'all wanted to come in here tonight and just wake some folks up, which is a good thing, because I'm definitely with it. Definitely. That was an awesome piece of lunch. Thank you so much for calling in and giving us that. And we'll be on the lookout for your book. Don't forget to send me that information, inbox.
Okay. All right. I sure will. I'll be right on.
All right, I'm going to send you over there to the therapist's office. You go on and sit down in the waiting room, pick out your lounge chair, grab your glass of wine, and listen to some tunes until they finish with their patients in there. One love, one life.
One love. Man.
Wow.
Powerhouse they indeed, man. Tonight. They are bringing it.
Yes, woo! They are. Yes, they are. I'm going to do this real quick again.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Poetic Therapy. I'm your host, LaPearla Naylor, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Sam the Man Phillips. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And press that 1 to be heard and participate. We love you, too. Oh, Sam, we're going to open up this next microphone. We got our CEO of Epiphany Radio. The man himself.
Hey, Darnell. What's going on, Sam the Man Phillips?
Good to hear you, Larry. Good to hear you for real.
Hey, my brother. What's going on? Hey, Darnell.
Just a great Saturday night. There she goes. You done did it already. She tore up again.
I've been good all night. Here he comes.
Hey.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to be like them. I'm trying to be like them. Hey, Darnell.
Oh, man.
Man, Stan doesn't understand. He doesn't understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, this moment of hysteria brought to you by For Real the Poet.
Thank you, Stan. He understands. Out of body experience.
Out of body.
So listen. I've been listening and I've been hearing some poetry tonight. I've heard some nice, sweet stuff, some sappy stuff, some real sappy stuff. You know, Van came in here with this sappy, very, very sappy piece to start the program off with, and Miss VIP followed with some sappiness. I was like, what's going on with the sappiness? You know what I'm saying? I was talking to Pearly before the show, Stan. And you know what? It was Miss Pearly, it was Mr. Station Manager, and Miss VIP, right? So we're talking, we're on this messenger thing, looking at each other's face and all that. And before we ended the call, somebody had the nerve to say, somebody asked Van, could he write a piece for them for tonight's show? Right.
Uh-oh.
And then somebody else said, yeah, they you know, did you write a piece for tonight's show? And so I said, you guys don't have pieces that you have never spit? And you know what I'm saying? And they were like, well, I get tired of doing the same piece over. I never like doing that. You know, all that kind of jazz, all that, which I understand. I don't like keep repeating pieces over and over again. But, you know, I think that we got millions of pieces that we have never spit. I know we do. I know you do, Stan. I bet you do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you ain't got to write a fresh piece every time you go on. You know what I mean? We got a vault full of pieces. People need to pull those things out. I love, well, I don't know if I should use the word love, but I like pulling them out every now and then because I find out that I am very so far distant from the writer I used to be. So it's amazing to me where I was at sometimes when I read a piece of old, you know, from when I first started in the poetry and things like that. I find that most of my stuff is really sappy to the sickening point of sickness. You know, I'm like, oh God, I wrote that. So it's kind of funny. I'm serious. I got a couple of them while I was waiting on to get on this mic. I changed my piece like 5 times. But I was, I found a couple of them. I was like, oh God, I was real, it was beyond sappy, the what I was writing. But I like reading them in the voice that I own today. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It was more like, when I look at those old pieces, it was written more to be read and not spoken type pieces.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And my cadence and everything about me has changed so vastly since then. So it just amazes me. When I look at those old pieces, I don't even know what voice I was using because, you know, I like to use different voices and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what the cadence, what the flow was. So that's where I was at, and I was thinking about that. So the whole time, I would have been raised my hand, but I was really searching for something that I haven't done in years or something that I've never done, you know.
Okay.
And that's where my head is at right now tonight, you know.
All right.
Can I say something? You said that you found a lot of your pieces, a good majority of your pieces are sappy. You are the king of sap. Is that not you?
Well, yes, so, I would agree. But the ones I found, though, I'm serious. They were like, you know, very, very, very. If you think my stuff is sappy now, they were sappy, sad sappy, like, ugh. Like Roses of Blue type of sappy, you know?
Oh, wow. I hear you.
And the other thing was, see, I've learned so much since then. I was just writing as a just, you know, with no poetic knowledge or poetry knowledge, or I was untouched by the community and, you know, cadence usage. without knowledge of metaphors and all the trickeries that we use today, and you know what we use to spice up our pieces. That was just writing from the heart, and writing from the love of just discovering poetry. You know, it was different. It was like a babe. You know, and it was so sappy, really sappy. I'm like, oh Lord, I'll never read that one. That's like, you know. If I do read it, I would have to explain to them beforehand what I'm doing, you know, type of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we love the sappiness, though. I think we all have encountered something in life that makes us, you know, write down something about something very, very sappy. It's either a heartbreak, you know, or a love that we've encountered that's just so good, we just got to panic. So it's sappy either way.
Yeah, you know, and unblemished, untouched, you know, the kind of work you don't go back and rewrite. It's just sappy straight from the heart, you know. I'm going to be honest, after Van did that sappy piece that he did, I found this piece called On a Balcony of Love. It was called On a Balcony of Love. I'll read that next week, maybe, if I'm drunk enough. But it was sappy. It's another word for sappy, that it was crappy. Yeah, sound like sappy, but it's crappy. But y'all not going to get me to do that one. You can forget about that. But I did find a sappy. I don't know if this is sappy. I really don't know what this piece is about, but it's something I don't think I've ever done. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to go through it and see what you guys think. I don't know. It's a mixture. It seems like it's a mixture as I scan through it. It's a mixture of emotions involved in here.
Okay. And the mic is yours.
Thank you, Darnell. Thank you. This piece is titled Just a Fantasy. What's stopping me from being what I want to be? Feeling how I want to feel? When it's so clear, I believe that God has sent you to me, sent you here. I have so much for you. How much did you have for me? What's holding you back? Can't move forward. I'm in love with you and it's killing me. Maybe I should have never told you or tried to just be friends with you, but I couldn't lie to myself. The truth is inside of me. I've waited so long, tried to chill, cut ties, keep conversations short whenever we were on the phone. All that did was inspire me to write just another poem, light another candle, sit under its silhouette alone, me and my heart beating to the pulsations illuminating from the music being played, every damn song being sung, fueling emotions, adding to each poem, feeling all this love for someone, wanting to touch you, a simple hug or just holding hands. Everything seems like an illusion, like it's not real. I've been trying to understand. Can you? Maybe the reality is that it's not in God's will for me to be your man. I'm addicted, a fool. Rolled you up in a blunt and smoked you, twisted, high off you. Sometimes I wish, sometimes I wish that you would lie to me just to hear you say that you love me, but that's not you. But how long can I go on with this fantasy? I want to be loved, loved mostly by you. But it seems like the wait is endless, non-void of any possibility. So here I am, another candle lit, another poem written, another song sang, another fantasy relived, another beat my heart skips at the thought of how beautiful you are to me. The softness of your lips, how in shape you are, that curve at your hips, the look I see in every picture you've taken, your eyes seem to pierce right through me. The sound of your voice really arouses me. Exhaling stagnant smoke, I choke, took in too much of you. Feels like an overdose. So in love with you, intoxicated, infatuated by you. All these things are wonderful, but honey, the love I feel for you is killing me. All things said and done and all that's written is true. Loving you may be killing me, but you know what? I'd rather die loving you. Someone please release me from this fantasy. I need rehab. I'm remembering. Way back when I didn't have sense. Common. Way back when I was drowning in misery. Way back when all was lost, breath, and there seemed to be none, no escape or rest from the tales or madness. Way back when no matter how much I gave of me, my time, my body, my soul, love, unconditional. In a world out of control, everything is conditional. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Way back when I was hurting, where were you at? Close to abusing me. Never touched me, but you used me. Used me up alone and discarded. You left me after you took what you believed was enough. In a world where love is not enough, I found myself addicted. Addicted with nothing left to hold on to but that punani. Well, that well ran dry as predicted. I was just in my addiction. I was addicted. Still addicted. So today I wrote a piece naked, heated, your image the fuel, torn, bare, convulsing, aroused emotions, but you weren't there. Your essence and its thickness, its satin, silky, satin, silkiness, richness was present and quite persistent. Naked. Naked I lie in a spot where you've been, writing a piece reminiscing your essence is the substance and the subject of my addiction. Addicted. For real.
Whoa.
Oh, man, you've got it bad.
You either got it bad or you had it bad or somebody
had it.
Oh, it bad. Well, yo.
Addicted to heat, yes. Yeah.
Can I hear that last line again, please? That was deep.
The last line. Okay. Let's go back here. Aroused emotions, but you weren't there. Your essence-ness. Its silky satin richness was present and quite persistent. Naked, I lie in a spot where you've been, writing a piece reminiscing. Your essence is the substance and the subject of my addiction. Addicted.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Yo. Man, that was sappy, but it was also thought-provoking as well. These pieces you guys are bringing are just, man, it's y'all done burnt up the mics. I'm glad Van went ahead and invested in this new company for these microphones because y'all just killing it in here. My goodness. That was
well, you know, after hearing my... After hearing myself spit that, I wouldn't put that in the sappy realm of sappiness, but I would just put that in one of those pieces like I was talking to you, Van, and on this VIP earlier. When I said we have these pieces, you know, y'all, we have these pieces, we got millions of pieces. I know everybody, Sir Lawrence, everybody that was on this mic got pieces they ain't never spit or never would think of spitting. But I think we need to go back and revisit those pieces and see what we can do with them, with the poet we are today, you know.
I think so.
Because like I said, yeah, go revisit some of those old pieces. I didn't even really revisit it and plan on rewriting it. And I was just looking at it as it was because that's who I was back then, you know. That's who we were back then, y'all, you know. See if you can perform them today. See if you can put something on it as far as the delivery of it. If you were that type of poet, you know, I realize that some of us just reads out pieces like that as they are. I'm just speaking on me. I love performing my pieces. I like feeling it and maybe trying to feel what I put in it when I wrote it, that feeling we put in it when we wrote it. If you were hurt, if you were happy, sad, whatever, you know? Can we reconnect with those old pieces that we put out there, that old part of us? Because that's what it was. Still a part of us, but we have grown since then. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? You remember how I was kind of timid about my pieces and kind of dry when I read them? I have actually, when I first came to Epiphany, but listening to you guys and spending time with y'all, I found my flow. I noticed that. And I think, there are a few pieces that I have hidden in my arsenal where I said I would never spit them. I would never let anybody hear them. But now that you said that, I'm giving it some thought here. I could pull out some. In due time, I'll give y'all some hidden pieces. And I could definitely, I could remember how I felt at that time when I was writing them. And some of them are very, very emotional. I think now that I found my voice and my flow, I think I can do that. So, thank you for that, Bill. I think I can do that.
I can't. You know what? Stan, I love hearing Stan do his pieces. I love hearing you as well. But, talking about Stan and hearing a person, I would say a narrator of poetry.
Absolutely.
He has that narrator voice. I put him out there like, Orson Welles and people like that read, like a read a story to you and make you believe that. If you remember Orson Welles, how the great actor, in the great acting job he did on, what was that, War of the Worlds?
War
of the Worlds.
He did a radio show and had people panicked that they actually thought there was an invasion.
Right, I remember that.
Let me tell you something. When they did the remake of that, and it was the part that goes down in the it's a part they do with the newsroom, okay, and they're telling you the breaking news and the aliens are attacking the Earth and all that, and the news studio room, the tables were shaking and everything like that. I was married at the time, and my wife was coming up the steps with a plate of food for me and stuff like that, and I seen what was going on, right, and I already know the movie back and forth, right? So it was in the newsroom. And she was just into the room, and I said, "Hey, babe, look, the fucking aliens is attacking the Earth." And she looked at the TV screen and saw the man. She dropped the plate and ran down the steps. Her mother lived in the hotel. She was there, Mom, it is. I was dying. Oh my God! But back in the day, it was on the radio. There was no visual. And those did such a great job that people was running out in the streets thinking that the Earth was being invaded by aliens.
Yes, and think about that. No visuals, no CGI, nothing. Just his voice, the story, the other voices and actors, and letting people's imagination make all the images they wanted.
Exactly.
Can you imagine the nightmares coming out of their own imaginations?
That's what I'm talking about. So we as and I relate that to us as poets, as performers, as people of art. How do you want your voice to be heard, remembered?
I'll be honest with you. I actually, once I retired and decided I was going to go ahead and get into poetry, and then I stumbled upon the first venue I ever did, which was World Poetry Open Mic, which is out of Denver. And I decided then, I do want to try to do spoken word. And what it was, you'd mentioned Orson Welles. he had a writer on there, a guy named Milton Geiger.
Mm-hmm.
And Milton Geiger wrote this, like, long poem. Great poem, but it was long. It was called I Will Not Go Back.
Mm.
And I remember that poem and that man's name because I was very young, walking through our house, on my way to my bedroom, TV was on, and I heard this voice out of this sea of slime. This incredible voice just grabbed me with this poem. And then that line hit me, I will not go back, and I turned around, and I sat there in that hallway just staring at that TV, listening to, of all people, Edward G. Robinson doing this spoken word performance of that piece.
Wow.
And I was hooked. It was done.
Okay. That's what's up. Definitely. But you know what? Pharrell,
the guy that always played gangster movies, and he was doing a spoken word performance, and I had no idea that he could do that.
Right.
You know, I've always heard him go, all right, you guys. You know, that was him.
Oh.
He didn't use that voice. Yeah, he didn't use that voice. Oh, man. But, yeah, the guy that wrote that poem actually was part of Orson Welles' writing team for his radio show.
Wow.
Hey.
That's awesome.
I'm laughing. Hey, it is awesome. I'm sorry for laughing during your dissertation, but I'm reading messages from the station manager.
But you know what? I have always said that Stan reminds me of Edgar Allan Poe. I've heard it narrated in different voices, but there's a certain way that it is done in a particular voice, and Stan just puts me in the mind of it all the time.
Yes, I would agree. I can agree with that. It's a classical thing somewhat. Stan's at a standout point where he knows how to do the classic poetry, but he's also a part of the New World poetry as well. You know, it's that voice, man. Some people have the masters of their voice. Another person that I know that has mastered their voice and can get down like that is Constantine, great friend of mine. I'm sure you know him as well, Stan. And, you know, he does voiceovers and things of that nature, you know. That's people that are really into performing their pieces, you know. But I don't know. I don't think you have to be a performer to want to perform your piece. I think it's just a need or a will or want to put you – you want – people to feel it the way you feel it when you wrote it, when you coined it. You know, it's hard to put emotion on paper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to be a writer and write it a certain way where people, if they're just reading it, they don't hear your voice, they're reading it. It can be still felt.
Right.
So if you have the opportunity to use your voice, which is a blessing, put something on it. Put something on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I'm very funny and fickle when it comes to that. You know, I try to calm my thoughts down and Danielle, you know what I'm about to say. I try not to speak too much on it because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but as a performer, to hear somebody read their own written piece that they wrote from the blood of their soul to read it, like it's new to them. That hurts me.
Yeah.
That hurts me to hear somebody read their own work as if it's new to them. You know? I just you know, but you know, I just pray for people that they get stronger within their craft or that they continue to grow. You know, so I try to put some little things out there. You know, I've reached out to certain people, you know, maybe you can do this, maybe you can do that, you know. But as performers, as poets, I think we, you know, we should want to be heard. As long as you're being heard.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong. If you don't have that ability, all of us don't have that ability to bring it to life as like others have. But as long as you use your voice, Just don't keep silent in your writings. Let it be heard.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know,
everybody
you
told me that.
Greatest, everybody is in the greatest stand or band, you know, or Miss
right.
Curly, you know. But be great in the way that you can be. Just be great. Just be heard.
You told me that when I first came to Epiphany.
That is the point also. It is their poetry. This is their heart, you know. Don't
yeah.
be afraid to share that heart. I think a lot of it is people are tentative, you know, because poetry is a very personal thing. It's a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it's not always easy for people to share a part of themselves like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. You know, let me say this before, since we're on this thing, because I keep forgetting this part of it. You know, really, mm-hmm. as a writer, you ever wrote something down without punctuation, and it's like maybe run on sentence. Like
mm-hmm.
the other thing I wanted to say about that is like, so you can make it hard for yourself to follow your own lines if you're not writing
yeah.
it a certain way.
Yes,
I find
yeah.
myself talking to you guys right now line by line. You know, so. It's not always that they're reading it like it's new to themselves. I think that if you're going to perform what you wrote, you have to write it in a way that you can perform it a little smoother. You guys
yes.
understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
I do.
Used to sit there and run lines together like a whole paragraph trying to do it in one breath or something. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until I figured out, even when I write free verse, I create stanzas.
Mm-hmm.
Before I read it, even when I'm writing it with the idea that I'm going to do this spoken word sometime.
Uh-huh.
So I break it into stanzas, which gives me my cadence, my breaks. It keeps me from running it all together.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to put that point out there too, you know, as I'm speaking to people, because I think a lot of times we think about that when we're writing it, that we're going to read it, and we need, you know, prompts and when we're going to take a breath, you know, things
mm-hmm.
of that nature. I don't use punctuation. I use space. And the only, wait a minute, if there is one I use, and that's the period. If I'm going to
yeah.
stop.
Yeah.
To think I might use four periods, boom, 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 you know, like
yep.
that. I use that. But other than that, I don't use, like, exclamations or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, everybody has their different ways. You have to find your way, you know, because it's for
mm-hmm.
you. It's not for this what I'm talking about. It's not for other people to read. But you can do that for if you want other people to read it and you stopped at a certain place, if you're not using a period,
right.
you got to make it, you got to write it down so they know not to run on to the next sentence.
Absolutely.
Right.
This is
exactly.
I had to learn that. I used to use. Now I've always used punctuation, but I would have to learn how to put different emotions, the up and down part of it, into it when I'm reading it, because I read in monotone. I know I do, but there are certain emotions in me that you can add into it. To make it sound differently than just that da 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 da. You can change it and bring it up and down. So I learned how to do that, and I get exactly what you're saying. All in good time. I've learned this listening to you guys. So I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for that.
I agree with you, Danielle. Almost anything that I've ever gained as a poet has come from reading and listening to poets.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you too, Darnell.
I can't believe you
know. Okay.
Sound like he said Darnell to me. Sound like he said Darnell. I'm sorry, Dan. That's an inside joke that I'll have to tell you about later on.
Okay. It's okay. You got her laughing, and I love hearing that laugh. So you go for it. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, by the way, shout out to my big brother, Joe the Rebel Mind Dance. I heard him get down up in here, too.
Yo, did he not bring it?
Yeah, he did. C-double-C, you know, I messed his name up. Clarence, I'll say Clarence. What's up? I heard Clarence, he was saying.
Yes.
I'm just trying to say his name. But, yeah, it's been some great poetry. And I love discussing poetry like this with you guys. I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to do so. But like I said, though, y'all, that's what I want to hear. And I think I'm when we come back to the Soul Cafe, I want people to bring those pieces that we wrote long ago or yesterday or whatever, those pieces that are in our archives that we thought we'd never perform or we never performed them or never read them. Bring those old pieces out. Dust them off. It lets you know where you are today, you know, where you come from within this community. But those pieces are still a part of you. So what can you do with them? What can you do with them today?
Okay.
You know, keep life into those pieces.
Really?
Keep life into those pieces, you know?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that's that. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's
thank you. My raw links magnet just grabbed my stylus and I don't know where it flung it. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, that happened. Mm-hmm. Stan, we're gonna get with you,
sir,
after the program. We need something from you after the program so we can get you those raw links. Because, bro, I'll be thinking about you all the time. I'm not going to be whole until you get your hands on some raw links way up in those mountains,
okay,
man.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I got
you. Oh, man. This is so awesome. So
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Let me see. Before I get off this mic, let me see if Van has wrote anything else. Smart mouth. Well, thank you for what you wrote, Stan. I see what it wrote. One love. Okay. He says okay now. Okay. I got you, man. Hey, I love my brother. He says Monday is coming. I'm not going to this Monday. No. This Monday is Raw with Rain, man. This Monday is Raw with Rain.
You sure?
Yeah, I've spoken to the host of the program. I made a deal with him. I didn't share it with the station manager. Okay, let me put it out there now. Because Raw with Rain was canceled due to Miss Rain traveling the earth again. She agreed to do her show this upcoming Monday. And I'm glad that you said that because I need to remind her. Back to you, Darnell.
Thank you very much for real. The poet Douglas. Man. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Great conversation. Come on with the giveaway.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing.
You know, I'm right. All right.
Oh,
I'm going to take you over in the therapist's office. You go ahead and grab yourself a recliner, a glass of wine, and some headphones to listen to your music and so the office door is open up.
Rebuke it.
You
said rebuke something. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. Hey, Stan, one love.
Yeah, I'm reading what he's writing,
Darnell.
Too, right? I'm
hey,
seeing
Darnell.
It.
One love, one Mike.
One love,
one
Mike. I want to hear some more poetry, y'all. Bring out one of those pieces before y'all hang up. I want to hear it.
All right.
All right. I got one.
All right. One all love, right. y'all. One mic. Baby,
one
baby.
Love,
one love, one mic. Oh, man.
Wow. We got another caller in here. And this is Divine Inspiration.
Oh.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Welcome to Poetic Therapy. How are you, love?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dan, what's going on? It's been a while, my brother.
Oh, it has been a while. It is great to hear you, Paul.
It's great to be heard. And, look, mm-hmm. and to be awake to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm good. I'm good. How are you? I'm glad. I'm hoping you get yourself some rest tonight, because I know you've been going. But I do appreciate you allotting some time for us on here tonight. I am so I'm anxious to hear what you got going on, and but I want to hear your piece first.
I've changed it 3 times already, but first. I don't appreciate the two of you. As a matter of fact, I take offense against the two of you bringing me on behind for real with that piece of this. I do not appreciate that at all.
Here we go.
I started to put my hand down.
Wow.
In Stan and I's defense, you guys, it is up to you guys to put your hands up, okay? And when you don't put your hands up at a certain time and somebody else beats you to the punch, well, your place is where you can, where your place is in. I mean, it's not as if we don't want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. But you guys got to beat them to the punch. That's what that is. You gonna get a pink football?
I was showering and getting in the bed.
Yeah.
You gonna have a pink football?
And I didn't
want to put my
head
in the morning.
Called me when I wasn't. Oh Lord.
Oh man.
But
well,
listening
we're not
to for
keep
real,
it too long.
Listening to for real talk about pull up, you know, one of those pieces that you've never done before, or I don't know, you didn't think was quite ready to be heard, or whatever the excuses was for not sharing it. It made me change what I was going to do again and go back to another piece that I've never done. And I keep looking over, and I don't think I'm finished with it, but it's finished for now. You know how that goes sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Whenever you're ready. The mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called Fire and Desire. One of the most sought after and hoarded things upon this earth is something called time. Desire even more than Christ, if truth be told. Yet, before it becomes the valued beauty sought after, it must first be purified. Put through the fire and thoroughly cleansed, liquefied, exposing every nook and cranny where dirt and trash and imperfections may hide. The sands we love to walk upon when we visit a beach in order to become one of our most useful inventions known as glass must undergo a complete transformation forged in the hottest of flames. After such a purifying experience, that sand can never be the same. This is my desire. It is my greatest desire, Lord, to feel the pain of your purifying flame. The discomfort, the mental and physical pain that comes with the stripping away of desires of one's worldly self. Purge me, Lord. Allow your holy flames to engulf me, Lord. Purge me of myself. Fill me with your wisdom and your righteous wealth. The pain I endure during my purification season shall give me my forevermore a new and powerful reason. Tears I shall certainly shed shall place a crown of glory upon my head. And the incomprehensible, eternal promise that I shall never experience the loneliness of being dead. I desire and welcome your purifying flame and the perfect peace that it shall bring. I offer all that I am to you, my Lord, Jesus the Christ, and my King. That's that peace.
Wow. Wow. You know what?
If anybody ever doubted why you are divine inspiration, I think that poetry answered that.
You got that right.
That was beautiful.
Absolutely. That's like the phoenix is reborn through the flames.
Mm.
Oh, man, that was a powerful piece, Paul. You brought that tonight? I love that piece. I heard him in there, too. I heard him in there. Yes, he sure enough did. And he beautiful piece. Very beautiful dedication to the Father. Man, thank you so much for that. Wow. Now, before you go, I know you please tell everybody what you have going on in the Epiphany Universe.
Yes, this Sunday, tomorrow even, my partner in praise, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and myself, will be hosting the Inspiration Factory. And it's open mic. You know, let your pen guide you to what you're going to share with us tomorrow night. But we're going to have a little praising the Father, a little prayer, and some poetry. Sounds like a good night to me. Sounds like a good way to start the week. Come on and join.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. All right. I'm going to let you go because I know you're tired. You probably don't even want to stop in the therapist's office. So I'm going to just let you go on and snuggle.
Oh, they got comfortable chairs in there. So I'm going to curl up in a chair with my thumb in my mouth.
You could do that. You could do
there
that.
You go.
Glass of wine and pick out a recliner. Only the best for my people.
That's right.
Put your headphones on and sit back and just chill. Take your socks off.
And make sure I hit the mute button so in case I start snoring, you don't hear it.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we don't want to have you up in here. Another.
There you go.
Snoring. What are you going to give me for that? Oh, man. Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate that. That was a beautiful, beautiful piece. Oh, wait. One love,
heart.
One mic.
Thank you so much. God bless you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic, and
wow.
God bless you too, Paul.
Wow, Stan, that was so awesome. Well, you know, we got. I don't even think that was a request. I think that was kind of like an order from the CEO to pull out one of those pieces. And I do, as a matter of fact. I have one. It's untitled, but
that's okay.
That I wrote a while ago. Okay. These hallucinations prompting me to navigate the realm of indecision. Lost in my own thoughts of false understanding, trying to capture a straight thought for something in the truth to make sense to me. But I can't think straight. I am so confused. I wait for the sun's rays to appear and warm my heart every morning I wake, but I'm still in the dark, hoping to discover some avenue of where my moments of contentment in us lay themselves to rest. Makes sense. These echoes of recrimination that made us disappear. Now my soul is stuck on his lips just because I wanted to be kissed. And that's that piece.
Oh, Danielle, that was very beautiful.
Thank you.
And that was untitled. You haven't got a title for that one.
Nope. I never could figure out a title for it, so I just left it as it is. I haven't read that piece in, I think I wrote that last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do. I think I wrote that last year. Yeah. I think this is like the second time I've actually read that. Yep. I'll figure out
well,
something. But you're more than welcome to title it for me.
No, I think I'm going to leave that one up to you, but that was beautiful.
Thank you. Now, Stan,
there's
a
title for it, Nameless Beauty.
Oh, okay. I like that. All right. Now, what did you pull out of your archive?
Mischief.
To listen to?
Well, right. I'm pretty much an individual who my first reaction to any authority, whether it's theological, scientific, government, whatever, my first reaction is suspicion. It's just my nature.
Okay.
You know, because they insist on absolutes. That means anything else outside of their thoughts must be impossible. And I'm just not built like that. I question. You know,
okay.
I'm not somebody who can calmly follow the woolly rump of the sheep in front of me and not look up.
Wow. Wow.
I'm just not that guy. I'm not. So I wrote this piece because I was poking fun at evolution, and I was poking fun at science, and I was poking fun at a lot of theological authorities who say, if you don't do this, 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 and this particular way, you're doomed. Well, I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you're a good person and you're good to people, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely. Well, the mic is there.
Well, this is called What If, Why Not? What if evolution is the reality? That we're merely a stage of primate development and nothing more. Intelligent enough to change this world while reaching for the stars. Arrogant enough to deny aiding and abetting in our self-induced entropy. The cockroach is king of the world. Why not? What if the analogy holds true that all human knowledge would only measure to one grain of sand? As compared to all the sands on all the beaches on Earth, the universe we've yet to know. Even our scientific laws based on just the one grain known. How surprising as we explore the cosmos depths if we'd happen upon a minor god, peddling a device that generates energy. Lamenting not joining deity's local THX1138 union, so once a millennium he could take a break. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's the law. The authority of one grain. An overworked deity? Why not? What if all the theologies and their ideals of heaven turned out to be what most would not suppose? An afterlife of the improbable. Perhaps on transcending this existence for the next, we come upon Charles Darwin, perpetually shrugging his shoulders and saying, "Who knew?" Or better still, an angelic vision of Curious George with a crooked smile, shaking his primate head and gently saying, "Dudes, you're so screwed." Improbable by one grain. So what the hell? Why not? End peace.
Yo, Stan, I love that piece, man. Why not? Why not? I love it. I love it. Oh, my God. Yo. Dude, you're good. I love that. my God. Yeah. That is so awesome. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you were hitting on all the points, everything that they pose to us, the questions that they ask us, and the way that they, oh, my God, contradict themselves in what they try to
exactly.
tell us and convince us of. Like, we're a bunch of damn idiots. Yeah, a bunch of monkeys running around here, you know.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that I love about this is both of the two in this case, which would be science and theology, religion.
Yeah, yeah.
They both have a word they use to kind of pigeonhole something that they can't really explain. You know,
mm-hmm.
in science, they have their laws, and they have this. They say, okay, if this and this happens, this is the next thing that happens. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is science. And then something doesn't happen that was supposed to, or
mm-hmm.
something happened that was never supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they do is they throw a couple theories at it, call it an anomaly. It's an anomaly.
Right.
It only happens once in a million times. If it's science, it's the physical world, which means if it happens, it's real. There's a reason. You're a scientist. Go find the damn reason. That's your job. It's not just an anomaly and you shove it under the rug. Same thing with theology. They have mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a mystery. No, that's not a mystery. That's something you haven't found something about yet. You're
That's
supposed
all.
To be out there looking, right?
Absolutely.
I would have
yes.
a lot more respect for both those authorities if they would have the courage to look at us and say, that is a question not answered yet.
Yes. There you go. There you go. But that's too much like right, Stan. Then that would prove them to be wrong in a lot of things, and God forbid they admit to being wrong. Oh, no.
That's the scary thing about authority. Authority feels that it has to maintain that infallible image.
Yep.
And yet the way we have advanced through all of our history, the way human beings have advanced, is authority says this is the only way it could be. And then someone with imagination stands on that foundation of beliefs that they've laid out, goes beyond it, and finds out and comes back to him and goes, guess what? You're wrong. And then the authority has no choice but to literally redefine reality.
Yeah, and that's what they fight for.
Our advancement as a people, as human beings, has been proving authority wrong over and over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have no fear of someone being in charge who has the courage to say, you know what, I don't know, but I'll find out.
There you go.
That's a leader. That's a leader.
There you go. Yeah. But that right there, not saying that it can't happen, but that would be a phenomenon. That, I believe, would be a wonder of the world, period. If that could actually happen, okay? I don't know how many wonders we're up to, 8, 9, 10, but 11, but that would be the wonder of all wonders of the world, okay? Them to admit and have somebody up there just to be honest, period.
I know.
You know, this world thrives on negativity.
Yes.
More so than they do on the positive side. This is what runs the world. This is why we have to fight every day for what is just and good, you know. But that would be an awesome thing. You know,
it would be.
It's good to have high hopes and wishful thinking. But that was an amazing piece. I love that, man. I would love to hear that again one day. Man, you can't hide that from us anymore. That was awesome.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah, that's what I rolled that one out God, that's got to have been like 4 or 5 years ago.
That's all right. You know, I tell everybody.
I was just in a mood. I was just in a mood, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to jack these guys up. I'm going to just pretty much jack them all up. All right now. Take care of them all right now.
Oh, yeah. You did. You did. You did. Definitely. Yeah. And I tell people poetry is timeless. It is eternal because someone always has something to say about how they feel and what they've been through. And we are always telling someone's story. Always.
Yes.
Somewhere. So it doesn't even matter how long ago or how recent you've written it. It is. Poetry just is. And that's the beautiful thing about it. That is it. But, Stan, this was an amazing show. Man,
yes.
I want to thank you. I truly appreciate doing the show with you every other week. But every time we do this show, I look forward to hearing your voice. It's like you are my Edgar Allan Poe. An epiphany. I love to hear your voice. I love to hear your pieces. And I truly, truly appreciate you being here with me on this Saturday night. Thank you so much.
And may I say the feeling is mutual, dear lady.
Oh, so awesome. Thank you. You have any closing words for our audience, our listeners?
Yeah. One more old piece just for fun.
Ooh,
this
yeah.
is Mom Knows.
Mike is yours.
Budgets. Thank you. Budgets, infighting, debates, and disputes. Our government's in disarray. You know, it's the same for working mothers, but they just call it Tuesday. In peace.
I knew you was going to end it like that. I could taste the ending coming. Right. I love it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. Ladies and gentlemen, all of my poets that called in and fit those amazing pieces, and everybody that called in and just listened, my listeners that streamed online, I know you're not there anymore, but I want to thank you, each and every one of you. It's so appreciated. I love you all. I want you to continue to be safe. Continue to get that good relationship going with yourself inside. That is where spirit lies. Okay? Continue to love one another and respect each other. And you still got to be careful out there. This germ out here ain't no joke. It's still getting people, grabbing them and doing what it wants to do with them. And we're trying to fight this. This is safety. And with that, everybody, man, I love this show. I love you, Epiphany. And with that, I'm going to say, peace.
Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, na, 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 na. Good vibration, yeah. That's the positive vibes that we create, yeah. The sounds that make you feel right, we keep it blazing, yeah. Forever shining this light, we keep it blazing, yeah. Boy, forever shining this light, hey. Thank the Lord, my cup is full and running over. All who never like, we are gonna love we know. Baby girl just text me, says she coming over. And when she reach, you want me fit, turn off the phone. Turn the lights down low, turn up the stereo, yeah. Alton Ellis, Gregory Isaac, Dennis Brown. Have you ever been in love? Now bad vibes can't stop this good vibration, yeah. That's the positive vibes we keep creating, yeah. Sounds that make you feel right, we keep it blazing, yeah. As long as we live in this life, we keep keep it blazing, yeah. As long as we live in this life, yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with melodies that touch your soul, no. They're acting like the people don't need it no more. Still when she hear that good music, she hold me closer. She groovy, now I know she feeling it for sure. She moved to me and rest her head up on my shoulder. Soothingly she tell me if it turn up the song. Have you ever been in love? Now bad vibes can't stop this good vibration, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the positive vibes that we creating, yeah. Sounds that make you feel right, we keep it blazing. Forever shining in light, we keep it blazing, blazing. Forever shining this light, ooh yeah.